WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Writer David Levitt says his first book, Family Dancing, was considered unusual because he was writing short stories about gays and lesbians in the context of families. Levitt says no one had really done that before, that most fiction about gay people was set in the gay world, the so-called gay ghetto. Family Dancing won accolades not only for its subject matter, but also for the quality of the writing. Many critics were surprised to learn that the writer was only 23. Now, 5 years later, Levitt has maintained his position as one of the finer young writers. His new book, his third, is a novel called Equal Affections. It's again the story of a family, one in which the son is gay, the daughter is a lesbian feminist, and their mother is dying of cancer. I asked Levitt why he's so interested in families.
The experience of being in a family is such a universal one, and even for people who don't grow up in families, the absence of a family becomes the sort of formative factor in their growing up. And most literature, it seems to me, either has to do with the life of families or with sort of running away from families, or at least most of the literature I like best.
You once wrote in an essay that home may be the most dangerous place of all, but it's also the only chance we have. What were some of the dangers you were referring to?
Well, the dangers which always crop up as a result of intimacy. I mean, I suppose one thing which I find myself continually reaffirming in my writing is that love without intimacy can't exist. And while it's true that intimacy is dangerous in that to be close to someone means risking the tragedy of losing that person, or risking the tragedy of having a kind of explosive emotional relationship which causes pain. On the other hand, there really is no alternative.
Let's talk about the family that you've created for your new book. The main character, Danny, is gay and he's a lawyer, and his sister April is 9 years older than he is. She's a lesbian feminist and a singer and songwriter and very popular in the women's music circuit. I think some people will see it as slightly unbelievable that two siblings should be gay, but I know examples where it's happened. I think it's really not that unusual.
No, it's not unusual at all. There's a big difference between April and Danny, which Louise is the first to note, which is that Danny is very sort of decidedly gay from the beginning. April, you get the feeling, is more sexually manifold or more sexually ambidextrous. She can sort of move back and forth between the lesbian and the heterosexual worlds.
Actually, I'd like you to read a passage about that in which Louise, the mother, is thinking about both of her children being gay.
As far as Louise could tell, April's homosexuality was more political than anything else, a phase she was going through, having more to do with feminism than desire. She chose to ignore the fact that this phase was now entering its 10th year. Danny was a different matter. With Danny, there didn't seem to be a choice. She had guessed it early on, not so much from conventional symptoms. He didn't dress up in her clothes or play with dolls or anything like that. But from the way he tended to resist certain activities, sports and watching football games and working in the garden with his father, in favor of standing in the kitchen with Louise, just talking to her while she cooked, or sitting in his room, cutting pictures of nature out of magazines and pasting them in a notebook he had already filled with magic marker psychedelia. She smiled to think of these things afterwards. And anyway, at least he was safe now. He wasn't running around the underside of San Francisco. He was living with a responsible man in a neat house in a suburb. He was a lawyer, successful. It could have been worse. He could have been in Alaska, working at a canning factory. He could have been dead.
I think one of the running themes of this book is this comparison between April and Danny, between the lesbian daughter and the homosexual son, and the kind of lives that they lead, and their motivations. Do you share the mother's thought there that April's lesbianism might be more politically than sensually motivated?
Ultimately, people fall anywhere along a very broad spectrum of sexual identity, and April, I think, is clearly not someone who is 100% gay. I mean, she's had a very active heterosexual life and enjoyed it. On the other hand, it seems to me that to choose at some point to become a lesbian is a perfectly valid thing to do. And at the same time, and I think this is perhaps what I understand that Louise, the mother in my book, doesn't understand, to make a political choice and to make an erotic choice may be one and the same thing.
Danny, the main character of your novel, lives in the suburbs with his lover. And his lover, Walter, says he wanted to move to the suburbs to uproot his homosexuality from its natural urban soil and replant it in the pure earth of his green garden.
Mm-hmm.
Want to explain?
Well, Walter is actually, as he says that, realizing that it was sort of a delusion to have the idea that he could do that. His idea is that he wants to lead a domestic homosexual life, which is a perfectly valid thing to want to do. And what he's reflecting on there is the implications of that choice and perhaps the downside of that choice. The downside being that in exchange for the safety and the security of a sort of quiet suburban existence, what he's given up is the kind of sense of adventure and exploration which has long been associated with urban gay life and which is something that he longs for in his own life.
Your two characters, the two men who live in the suburbs, you don't set them in opposition to the community. It's not a question of them, you know, facing a lot of neighbors who are suspicious of two men living together. Mm-hmm. I mean, they go to gay homeowners meetings at the Unitarian Church. Mm-hmm. There's a gay culture in the suburbs.
They're what would be called by some people in the gay movement assimilationists, but assimilationists of a very new variety in that they have managed to make this assimilation without denying their homosexuality or without pretending anything. You know, they're both openly gay. At the same time, they've chosen to lead what is perceived as a conventionally straight lifestyle, which is sort of contradictory to the kind of Stonewall ethos of the late 70s, but it seems to me is a real reflection of the direction in which a lot of gay men are taking their lives now.
The mother of April and Danny in your novel is dying of cancer, and she's had cancer for about 20 years. And I think there are many very moving passages about this in your novel, and I was wondering how you knew so much about what a family experience like that would be.
I should say, first of all, most of this book isn't autobiographical, but I would be really lying in a very criminal way if I said that Louise wasn't my mother and that the story of her death wasn't the story of my mother's death. A funny thing that's been happening is that as I've been doing a lot of interviews with the gay press, many people have asked me if Louise's death was meant to be sort of a metaphor for AIDS, because she dies of a very strange reaction, chemical reaction, which is the result of her being immunocompromised. It's an immune deficiency death. It's one of the bewildering aspects of being a fiction writer when those aspects of your novel, which come very much from your own experience, end up being interpreted as if they were the most artificial kinds of constructions.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's interesting. I think there's a lot of the fiction being written by gay men now has something to do with AIDS. There's frequently a character dying of it or a lover who has died of it. And in your novel, AIDS isn't really... It's kind of in the background, but not mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the person dying of cancer is the mother.
Yeah. Well, I mean... You know, mothers still die of cancer.
Exactly.
It seems to me there's a kind of tyranny at work, particularly toward gay writers, about the subject of AIDS. One review of this book sort of complained about the fact that the central disease was cancer and not death, as if I wasn't being politically correct. But I think it's very dangerous tyranny because the result of it is to treat AIDS as a sort of monolith and as the only thing which exists in gay men's lives.
As we've discussed, a lot of your stories are about families, but I wonder how your family has reacted to that and if they feel exposed because many of your readers might interpret it as being more autobiographical than it actually is.
It seems to me that my family has reacted with Herculean nobility. I'm always amazed at how well they have handled my books and grateful, constantly grateful. They have been wonderful about it. And while it's true that things I've written have upset them, we've learned to deal with it. I think one of the best things about my family is that no one in my family bears grudges. The way problems get worked out is that you sit down and you yell and scream. You say what you have to say. The other person says what he has to say. You get it out, and then you can go on.